This is iRadio's
group chat.
If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.
My guest today is Ciara Broderick, who is a 26-year-old writer from East Galway, whose debut novel, Catfish, has just been picked up by a UK publisher. The story of Catfish follows a young Irish woman who lies about her real identity to men online. Ciara says it's completely fictional. Welcome to iRadio's group chat. Ciara, congratulations on your debut novel. Can you tell us what Catfish is about and what inspired you to write it as well?
Yeah, of course. So Catfish is about a young woman who is, she's catfishing men, and then she becomes the subject of this kind of viral online investigation where her identity is at risk of being revealed. So it's her kind of trying to prevent that from happening. We're finding out maybe some of the worst things she's done that she's really afraid of coming to light. And it's also her reckoning with why she's done it, what has driven her into this kind of space or the need to do this, and what it means when that is kind of being stripped away from her as she has to step away from that to protect herself. So suppose it was inspired by, like, I grew up online like a lot of us and loved like TV shows like Catfish on MTV, and I've seen a lot of the kind of true crime or viral stories of catfishing. So it was me kind of thinking about, you know, how I may have brushed up against that and things that I may have done online or my friends may have done online that are like, they're not catfishing, but, you know, they're not objectively normal things. And like, what might drive someone over the edge? And also, what do I consider that edge to be? Like, where is the line of what is and isn't acceptable? And how do we, especially in the online culture now and the kind of like TikTok beef, story time kind of sphere, how do we decide that as like a mass consciousness? So that's kind of where it came from.
It's about, I suppose, in our generation, trying to figure out what's real and what's not real and what's authentic and what's not authentic. Like, I understand what you're trying to say there about the line. And I know, yes, we've certainly grown up in the sphere of Catfish on the TV as well. I know that's been such a massive TV series and stuff like that. What drew you, though, in the book world to explore that theme in your debut novel? Like, what made it, that made this one the one that you wanted to do in your first book over anything else?
It's a bit of a cheap answer. I suppose it was easy. You know, like the online sphere, not that writing a book is ever easy, but it was something that I understood really well. And we see now kind of there are some books coming up about the internet, like an Irish writer that does it really well is, say, Catherine Prisifka. And it's still kind of fairly new in a literary sense. But I think through this, like, exploration of catfishing or, you know, viral stories, and it allows us to hold a mirror up to who we are and who we are as a society as well. Because, of course, there's the actions of the main character, Mairead, and there is the catfishing itself, and there's kind of the impact of that. But there's everybody else's reactions. Like, how do we feel about it? Why do we feel that way? And what's playing into that? And what, you know, makes people think the way they do or then change their mind later on? And I love writing about that. I love writing about place. I love writing about people and attitudes. And I just thought this was a really fun kind of punchy way to do that as a first novel, you know, something I could really get stuck into, write my way into, figure out who I want to be as a writer and how I work well, and hopefully have something at the end of it that is interesting to people and that they want to pick up and they're like, yeah, I want to see what this is about. I want to see how much of myself is in this book.
I know this first book, you've said that it's completely fictional. It's distanced from any real events. I know some people are comparing it to the Two Johnnies Catfish podcast as well. How did you balance taking inspiration from real world issues without making it too close to home or feel too close to home to some true stories?
Yeah, and that's a great question, because I think obviously for Irish audiences, you know, they're going to think of that because it's the first time we saw a kind of major story like that in the Irish context specifically. So for me, it's completely from the perspective of the catfish. So she was someone I had to like invent, you know, myself. I had to be like, to me, who is this person? What parts of myself, like if I look at myself and I say, right, who was I at like 13, 14, 15 when I had my first phone, I was first online, what would have maybe tipped me into a different form of behavior than I ended up doing? So it's kind of making it as personal as possible without kind of outing myself in any way. But rooting it in my own experiences. One thing that was quite interesting is, as I was writing my way into it, sometimes you do see some similarities, not just to like the two Johnny's case, but to so many that have cropped up, you know, like we've got Sweet Bobby, or there's been a few US cases. And as I tried to be like, okay, I must remove this overlap because I don't want to make it about any particular situation, sometimes it just made sense. You know, sometimes similarities arise because a lot of the time we are the same, you know, people react in similar ways to similar situations. And these things like catfishing is, I think, allowed to happen because the people doing it, they're relying on their victim's need to kind of not make a fuss or to want to connect or want to believe in this thing. So it's a tricky one. I think we have done it. Like I've worked very closely with my agent and well now with the editor, but yeah, I think everyone's going to, like, as soon as they read it, they're going to have their own thoughts in their head, even from their own personal lives. They're going to be like, oh, I know someone who did that. And that, remember that story? That was really weird. So yeah, it's a good question.
For Mairead, from writing from her point of view, you know, as someone who's deceiving others, did it feel challenging? Or like uncomfortable at times as well? How did you put yourself in Mairead's shoes? I can imagine writing from the perspective of someone who is catfishing someone else. Like, that must be very challenging.
Yeah, it was. And especially the first draft, because I knew, like, I didn't know who she was when I started writing it, but I knew what she had done. I decided kind of what her journey had been and like what she was trying to protect. So I think when I started writing, I was going from the perspective of like, she's this awful person, she's abrasive, she's unpleasant, she's kind of weird, and people are going to listen to this and be like, you're all of those things. So just but you know, I was trying to make her really, really unpleasant, and that was hard because it's hard to stick with someone in that way. So as I was going and revising, it was about finding the moments of empathy, I think, finding moments where you're not taking away from the fact that she's done all this harm, but finding overlaps where, like, okay, well, that thing that happened was really unpleasant. And like, we're all human beings, like we all have a natural urge to feel for others, and it's that thing of like, oh yes, this incident may have driven her to do XYZ, but I really feel for her because that wasn't nice. And as a writer, and I would hope as a reader too, like, that's an interesting thing where you have this person who maybe doesn't really feel bad for her actions, but you feel bad for her still. And it's that reminder that we are all human and we are all capable of this kindness, no matter how we may behave online, or, you know, the way that we sometimes our actions and our words can be warped by this like weird, the TikTok comment section effect, I think.
For Mairead, obviously, she's such an interesting character because she is the catfish, and the empathy is important that we feel for her, but also because you've made her unpleasant, you know, it's going to be an interesting read for readers, probably in some ways a lot more fulfilling. I do enjoy a good novel where you don't actually like the main character for a lot of it. But what do you think in general in the real world is driving people to create a fake profile or live a double life online, kind of like Mairead?
I think the biggest one is connection. And that was what I found as I was writing this book. You know, you can look at kind of Dirty John scams or Loverboy scams or things that involve like money or financial gain. And I think they're completely separate to what I've tried to explore with Catfish. And, you know, for Mairead, and for, I would imagine, a lot of people that do this, while it starts off as a way to maybe get back at people or humiliate people or do something negative, you're still, as you're catfishing, in Mairead's case, men, building connections with them and building relationships with them to a certain extent. And I think that's really important. So for a character like Mairead, who in her own mind and in her own heart feels she's not good enough, you know, she's had these experiences throughout her life where she's been made feel less than, or like people don't want to be around her, to see her in that way. She's created these fake profiles that, you know, are someone she sees as being worthy. So she's doing what she can to have those feelings of connection and validation through this like horrible toxic lens. But I think at the very back of her mind, that is what she's looking for. And it provides that, and also a sense of safety. You know, because if she's talking to this guy as her fake profile and things are going well, and then if she's rejected down the line, it's that sense of distance of like, okay, well, that wasn't me, that was my fake account. And I think that we've all done that to some extent, whether it's we've edited our pictures, or, you know, we've maybe given a not 100% accurate view of like how things are going in our lives. It's, you know, wanting to be the best version of ourselves and also having an out when that doesn't work out, because it's very hard to be vulnerable, particularly in relationships. And being online creates a whole new element to that, where you feel incredibly observed all the time, but also have such a capacity to be kind of at a remove from what you're doing.
It's stepping into the unknown with the online world, for sure. You know, I'm sure people will relate to that. But what message do you hope that readers take away from your novel about truth, about identity, or about the world we live in online? What are the main things you're hoping that they feel and remember after they finish the book?
That's a really good question. And you're actually the first person to ask me that. So sorry if I have to have a think about it. I suppose I want people to come away with a sense of, I don't know, that it's okay to feel these things that are unpleasant. So, you know, like that feeling of like embarrassment or cringing or insecurity, that's okay, that we all feel it. And it's important to feel it. And it's important sometimes to laugh at ourselves. But I think a really big thing I would like people to come away with is that sense of empathy and kindness. And, you know, we do live in a culture where it's very easy to hop on bandwagons, and it's very easy to like pick sides and like beef. And that's fun. That is, that's sometimes there's a real benefit to that, because it's something that's completely irrelevant to your life. And with all the like misery and doom scrolling going on, sometimes it's nice to just like get super involved in this like completely meaningless fight between two strangers on TikTok. But just a reminder that humanity is the most important thing, and that we are all doing our best in a world that sometimes feels very hostile, and that the connections that we make that are real are very important, and to lean into them and to not be afraid to follow them through. Because maybe, sorry, I'm rambling now.
You're not at all. No, I think that you've hit the nail on the head, though, you know, about it being humanity, because, yeah, you know, that it's something we all have in common, you know, and yeah, we can judge this particular character, but it's important as well to look at the whole picture, I'm sure, of Mairead and in general as well. And my final question for you, what is next for you yourself? Are you planning book number two? Are you just relishing where you're at the moment? I know you are in South Carolina. You must be living your best life.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to go back to work now, because I spent a week here where everyone, they love my accent, they love my name. They're calling me Miss Ireland when I walk into the room. It's brilliant. But yeah, so the next thing for me is book two. So I have kind of plotted that, and I've spoken to my publisher about that. So I'm really, really looking forward to getting stuck into it and working on it. And I'm really lucky that I'm in a position where I can step away from my other work and focus on it full time. So really looking forward to seeing how that looks for me and how that will change me and my process, I suppose.
Well, Ciara, I am looking forward to reading book number two as well. Thank you so much for hopping on iRadio's group chat. The very best of luck in South Carolina and with Catfish as well. And I hope that we do catch up with you again soon.
Thanks so much, Valerie. It was lovely talking to you.
This is iRadio's
Group Chat.
If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.